Today, because of Seroji's health, he can't come on time to the talk, and therefore Bilin Searao is replacing him this evening. Every day we've been listening to the talks by Searao-ji, truly deep talks. Searao-ji wants all the yogis to be able to develop samadhi and knowledge, and so he's been urging the yogis for over 2 weeks now in the practice. And Bilin Searao said he sees that there are yogis who, as much as they make effort in the practice, they have progress. And some, of course, are still lacking. But if one tries, if one makes effort, one's samadhi and knowledge will develop. So some are making effort with faith in the practice, making effort to develop samadhi, and vipassana knowledge is occurring, and they have faith and trust in this path to nirvana. As Searao-ji reminds the yogis, if one makes ardent effort and accurate aim to observe the arising object so that sati develops, samadhi and panya will occur automatically. So Searao-ji has been reminding the yogis of this constantly. Searao says that we have to observe. We have to develop the practice. Well, why do we have to observe? Why must one practice? Everybody knows the answer already. We have to practice in order to be free of the suffering of life and to get real happiness, the peace of nirvana. We don't practice to get worldly gain or to get a high position. If we get these things, of course, it's good. But if we take pleasure in them, then one will get stuck. One will be stuck in lifetime after lifetime, suffering in each lifetime. So one shouldn't lose sight of one's goal. If one asks, why do we practice? We know the answer. Because we want to realize nibbana. We want to gain the end of all suffering. In life, we are being repeatedly born time and again. Beings are floating along in floods, being carried along by the flood. And these floods in Pali are called Ogha, O-G-H-A. And there are four kinds of floods that carry us along, that carry beings along in life. The first is Kamogha, the flood of sense pleasures. Beings float, are carried along in the flood of sense pleasures, taking pleasure in sense objects. And are being carried along in this flood. And then there's the flood of lifetimes, bhavoga. So we go from one existence to another, being born in the happy realms, sugati, being born in the unhappy realms, dukati. So one after another we're being born. When our wholesome karma ripens, then we are born in a human realm, or the Deva realm, or the Brahma realm. And when unwholesome akusala karma ripens, then one is reborn in the hell realms, the world of the animals or hungry ghosts. These are lives of misery. So going from lifetime to lifetime, beings drown in the flood of lives, and they aren't able to get free. They're being carried along, and they don't know how to get out of the flood. And then there's the flood of views, wrong beliefs. Wrong views in Pali are called deti. Having a wrong view, if one does unwholesome actions, physically, verbally, or mentally, mostly one will go to the lower worlds. So one is unable to gain liberation. Some, having wrong views, do good deeds in order to get a good life. And they can get to a good existence this way. To explain this, there are some that believe there's a permanent soul within one's being. And if the body dies, the soul migrates to another life. That life might be good or it might be bad. So in order to get a good life, a person believing this does good deeds. And from those good deeds, they get a good existence. But it's not really good, because in that existence, one suffers. One has pain, one ages, one gets sick, one dies. In that lifetime, there's no guarantee that one will not suffer, age, get sick, and die. Therefore, doing kusala, doing good deeds, can't gain us freedom from life. So that is detoga, the floating in the flood of views. And next, there's avijoga, the flood of avijja. Avijja is moha, also called moha, ignorance. Avijja is not knowing the truth, so it's called avijja. Deti, or wrong view, has moha, delusion, as its base. It's based on moha. Not knowing the true nature of things as they are, one can't gain the noble path, fruition and nibbana. And this is what is meant by floating in the flood of avijja, not knowing. Beings are floating in these four floods. Kamoga, the flood of sense pleasures. That is, beings take pleasure in sense objects, and thus they float along in the flood. And bhavoga, that is, taking pleasure in life. Thus one floats along in that flood. Detoga is floating along in the flood of samsara due to one's wrong views. And avijoga, the flood of ignorance, is the worst. Floating along in the flood of ignorance. So these four are called oga in Pali, or floods in English. Flood means like a torrent or strong flowing river. So in order to cross flowing water like a river or a stream or a flood, in order to cross over it, one needs to be strong and one needs to be skilled in crossing over rivers or floods. Without strength or skill, one will be pulled into the flood and will be carried away. As long as beings are floating in these four floods, they won't get the happiness, true happiness. Only when one crosses over the flood, gains liberation from the flood, will one get the true peace and happiness of Nibbana. Therefore, one has to observe in order to cross over these floods, to gain Nibbana by getting free of the flood, by gaining liberation. So how do we do this? How do we cross over the floods? What abilities do we need to have? In the Himavata Sutta, a deva asked the Buddha this question, Kosu tarati ogan, koda tarati anawang. And that's the question. I couldn't catch the reply. So he asked, O most venerable Lord Buddha, in this world, who is it that can cross over the four floods of samsara? Who is it can cross over the ocean? So what kind of person, this deva asked, what kind of person can cross over the four floods and get to Nibbana? These floods are deep and wide. To cross over them is very difficult. This the deva knew, but how to cross over he didn't know. This deva had already gained sotapannahood through listening to the Buddha's sermon at another time. So he had a deeper meaning in mind when he asked this question about how to cross over the floods. So having heard this question, the Buddha preached the answer. And he recited, Siro recited the Pali just now, so I won't repeat it. But the Pali said that at all times, one must have sila. One's mind must be well concentrated with awareness and with special knowledge. A person with these abilities can cross the flood. So if we want to cross this flood, one has to have the abilities to do so. And the Buddha said what qualities one needs to have. First of all, sabada silena sampanno. One has to always have sila, good moral conduct. This is the first quality we need. Only when one has sila can one get out of the flood, cross over it, get out of the whirlpool. Without sila, one can't. Therefore, sila is the first requirement of a yogi. So that is the first requirement. One must have sila. So one has to understand, therefore, what is sila. And all yogis most likely understand. But Sierra is going to explain now for those who don't. Sila is speaking, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. In Pali, is sama vacha, sama kamanta, sama ajiva. And these are the three factors of the sila portion of the path. So what is right speech? Well, people know this. It's avoiding lying, avoiding divisive speech, which causes quarrels between people who are friends, making people hate each other. This is divisive speech, and so it's part of what we consider musavada, wrong speech. And then there's harsh speech, cursing, swearing, abusive language. No one likes this. And then there's frivolous talk, idle speech, which has no benefit either in the worldly sense or spiritually. So avoiding these types of speech is sila. Right action. We know what this is. Avoiding killing, taking things that belong to others without their permission, stealing, that is, and committing adultery, that is, and other acts that involve sexual activity with partners that are not one's own. So avoiding these misdeeds is sila. And avoiding these misdeeds, one is living with clean physical behavior. And avoiding the verbal misdeeds, one will be living with clean verbal behavior. So living like this is sila, living with clean physical and verbal behavior. And when one lives this way, one's behavior at work will also be clean. One will keep physical and verbal behavior clean in the process of making a living. So yogis here take the precepts every day. And not just the five precepts. The yogis have to keep the eight precepts. And these make one's physical and verbal behavior very clean. If we think about this, it's really cause for being happy. So if one considers how clean one's sila is, one's mind will be very happy. And this is a benefit of sila. There are many benefits to sila, but the basic benefit is that it makes one's mind happy when one reflects on it. And if one can keep the five precepts, then one will never go down to the lower realms of apaya. In essence, the first quality needed to cross over the flood is sila. And the second quality is sati-ma, having sati, susamahito, with a collected mind. So one has to have sati, and one has to have a well-collected mind, a focused mind, concentration. To have this, what is needed? Virya is needed. So these three qualities, virya, sati, and samadhi, are collectively called samadhi. Right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. And in essence, to cross over the flood or oga, we need samadhi. So first of all, we need right effort, that is, trying in the right way. There are four things involved in making effort. Effort not to let akusala arise. So when akusala has not arisen, there's effort not to let it, to make so that it will not arise. And then, if it does arise, one has to make effort to dispel it. Third, one makes effort to cause wholesomeness, which has not yet arisen, to arise. And fourth, one tries to develop the wholesomeness that has already arisen to make it stronger. And that's why Sayadawji is always urging the yogis to observe the arising object with effort and accurate aim so that the mind will stick to the object and become collected. There are some yogis who are noting, but there's no awareness involved. So they're looking here and there, gazing, reading. So if Sayadawji were to see this, he would say, there's no observation occurring. That means there's no sati, no effort. It all boils down to no effort being made. Therefore, the second quality that one has to have is samadhi. For this, one needs to have virya all the time, not just during the sitting period. When one walks, one needs to put one's mind on the leg. Left step, right step, left step, right step. If one looks here and there when one walks, how will one ever gain samadhi? This is where faith, sadha, is very important. Without the belief, the faith, that one can gain samadhi by doing this practice, one won't make effort. Effort must always be there, and then sati will follow. Sati will stick, and the mind will become collected. There will be samadhi. And then there will be no lobha, no dosa, no moha, no mana, no deity. None of these will arise. The mind will be clean. And this is samadhi. Samadhi can make the mind clean. Sila can't. Sila makes our physical and verbal behavior clean. But to make the mind clean, we need samadhi. And for this, we need virya. And we need the sati that comes with effort. Without them, there won't be any samadhi. And without samadhi, there won't be any knowledge. Therefore, the second factor that is needed in Pali is susamahito. One needs to have a well-concentrated mind. So that is the second quality needed for crossing over the flood. The third quality needed is ajata senti. That means to dwell observing oneself, looking within. Panyava, to be equipped with worldly and spiritual wisdom. So one needs to have wisdom, panyava. And for this, one needs to dwell observing the dhammas that exist in oneself. There's no need to look outside. What is inside one's being is true dhamma, and this is what one has to observe. When one does, panya, knowledge will arise. So these two factors, samaditi, right view or panya, and samasankappa, right aim. So the basic, we understand, we've listened to the basic method of how to observe during the sitting, how to observe during walking, how to observe when performing various acts. If one observes oneself with this method, one will come to know, and this is panya. When one observes the rising and the falling, at the very moment the rising occurs, applying the mind to observe the object and making a mental note, rising, at the very moment of the falling too, applying the mind right at that moment, making a mental note. If one observes with focus, one will see clearly the true nature which is really there. One will see stiffness or tension. So knowing these true qualities, these dhammas, is panya, wisdom. This is basic wisdom. And aiming accurately at the object is right aim, right application of the mind. So with regard to knowledge, panya, there's much to explain. However, it's already, an hour is already up. So Sierra summarizes by saying that we understand that we practice in order to cross over the flood of samsara, the flood of lives. And we understand the qualities that are needed to do this. We need to have sila. And if we have virya, sati, samadhi on the arising object, then samadhi will be occurring. If samadhi is occurring, then knowledge of the true nature of mental and physical phenomena is sure to come. So this is the basis for vipassana. And from here, developing vipassana knowledge in a series, stage by stage, one can reach nibbana. And this is why Sieraji is always urging the yogis to apply ardent effort with accurate aim, so that sati arises and sticks to the object. So Sierau hopes that all of us will apply the method, as Sieraji has urged us to time and again, and be able to, with the qualities needed to cross over, one will be able to develop wirya, sati, samadhi, and panya in order to gain the nibbana that we want so much. That's all for today.